In the name of God who creates, redeems, and sanctifies. Amen. Please sit. There is a patch of pachysandra on the side of the rectory. I don't know who planted it, but I think of them very often. Some rector or some rector's wife or maybe even a well-meaning parishioner who thought it was a good idea, Chris is shaking his head, to have some ground cover. But when we got here, we tried to get rid of it. And we did all the things that we could do. We pulled it all out, which if you've ever tried to pull out pachysandra is really a pain. And then once we had pulled it all out, we dug up all the dirt and we laid that, you know, tarp plastic down, you know, the black stuff that the plants aren't supposed to be able to get through. And then we put all the dirt back on top of it. And I thought, that was really awful. But at least it's done, right? In a year or two, we can use it for something else. We were wrong. First, it was just a few of them that sort of came up a little bit at a time, and I would go out there frustrated and pull them out of the ground. And finally, it was so many of them, and they were so well-rooted, that I just gave up. And now the whole patch is covered again as if we had never been there. The earth produces of itself. We know not how. Even when we're surprised, even sometimes despite our best efforts. Nature is feisty. Life, all life, is persistent in its desire to survive, to conquer, to continue. And God will have God's way. God always does, no matter what we might have to say about it. I can't remember the last time that I was truly surprised by anything. Can you? I can't remember the last time I was really actually caught off guard, really shocked, in like a good surprise kind of way. We've all unfortunately had the opposite, but I'm looking for the good surprises in your life. Can you remember the last time you were actually floored? I really like pulling off good surprises, so I have done this to other people and take great pride in that. I get a lot of joy out of it, but I can't really remember the last time somebody actually got me. My wife will tell you that I'm really hard to surprise. I will sort of pretend I don't know what's happening in order to play along, but I can't really remember the last time people were able to surprise me like that. But God is persistent and creative, and the God who will always have God's way is full of surprises. So I'm going to ask you to continue to think about what good surprises you've had as we look at the text for today, which are full of God's surprises. Good things, mostly. The God who sees things differently than we do, the God whose kingdom grows, we know not how, sometimes right alongside us when we least expect it, sometimes even within us and among us, we know not how. Sometimes, maybe even despite our best efforts, sometimes in different directions than we might have wanted or imagined. Like nature, the kingdom is feisty. It has God's mind to it, not ours. So Mark gives us these two parables of Jesus today, perhaps two of the most well-known. And the first one seems simple enough. And not unlike my battle with the pachysandra, someone scatters seed and just like that, it grows with little or no help. The fruit is produced, the harvest comes, and the parable suggests to us that God does all the work. The seeds sprout in the dark of the earth, and maybe even in the dark of night, seeking to imply to us that no one really helped these things to grow. While life goes on around it, the person sleeps and works day in and day out, and what becomes, becomes on its own because God made it so. There is, however, a slightly different way to read this parable. In the Greek, the word seed is not there. It's the word spore. Now, I'm not entirely sure how much the ancients knew about agricultural science, but the words must be different for a reason. If you know anything about plants, and I'll admit that I don't, I had to read up on it this week, a spore is a super, super tiny thing, way smaller than a seed, perhaps not even visible sometimes to the naked eye. In fact, it seems to suggest to us that it's very likely that the sower, who was actually a thrower, didn't even know the spore was there. It might have been attached to something else that was thrown. That's right, the verb sow isn't there either. It's the verb ballo, which is a generic sort of throwing word. So this casts, I think, a little bit of doubt on the reading of this parable. Without the word scatter, sow, or seed, takes on a slightly different appearance. And what happens is we seem to remove the intention from the story. And so the implication is that if God didn't produce from the earth, then it wouldn't exist at all. Stalk, then head, then grain. But in fact, God produces when the thrower doesn't even know that something is there, that something could be produced. A complete surprise, a happy accident. There are no words in there, even though they appear in the English translation. There are no words that frame this parable to say scatter, sow, or seed. So you can imagine maybe that the thrower in this story would have been utterly shocked that something grew out of nothing, that something came with no action on his or her part at all. The thrower could have thrown anything else that had those tiny little spores on it. And then, magically, something grows that is useful, that feeds people, that has a purpose, that makes a difference in the harvest season, something that can be eaten, something that can be sold, something that gives security and comfort, something that enables life. And this, Jesus says through Mark's gospel, this is like the kingdom of God that crops up when we least expect it, that grows even when we've seemingly done nothing to encourage it, or at least didn't know that we were doing something to encourage it, that might also grow and be produced of God when we plant and scatter and sow, God willing. That's a great noise. When we go about doing the work that God has given us to do, when we live well and kindly and with compassion, then we hope that we are scattering seeds and we know not how those produce. But there is something interesting about reading this parable in a different way that suggests that we might participate without even knowing. If we do the small little thing that no one else notices, if we don't intentionally think that we're scattering seed or sowing seeds, then we still might contribute to the growth of the kingdom, even though we don't know it. However you read this parable, God is the one giving the growth. God is the one producing. The invitation is for us to do some of the work behind the scenes, but either way, the kingdom grows the way that God wills. God gives the growth. In the next one, perhaps the most famous of the parables, we have the mustard seed. And here Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like the mustard seed. And here too in the Greek, it is mislabeled. The word seed is not there. It's grain. It's the smallest of grains, not even a seed, even smaller than a seed. And it grows into, the text tells us, the greatest of shrubs, which has always made me smile a little bit that Jesus calls it the greatest, and in some translations, the noblest of shrubs. If that makes you think of a movie, we can talk about it later. And the birds of the air come to rest in its branches. Most scholars agree that this is a nod at a prophecy in the book of Daniel, one that comes up several times throughout Hebrew scriptures, but is very present in the book of Daniel, in which there is a metaphor for a great tree, strong and tall and noble, with beautiful foliage and abundant fruit. And the tree is an image of the kingdom of God, and an image of the king's rule as well, the king's rule on behalf of God, meaning that if the king lives well and does well, then the branches of the tree create shade and protection and safety for the people of God, that God's people are protected by the rule of the king that God has anointed if it is a good and a just and loving king. The tree then becomes the central image of that ruling, of that protection, of security and comfort and peace, and again, of the idea, the space where life can thrive. And in Daniel, this image is a great tree. But here, Jesus picks quite the opposite of that. It is not a great tree. He is shifting, in many ways, the expectations of the Messiah, the expectations of God's people. He is shifting the understanding of what the kingdom might look like and who comes to build it. The one who replaces the kings, the King of Kings, comes to us and says, "This kingdom will not look like you expect it to look, because what I value, what God values, isn't necessarily what you value. Instead, the kingdom will come to you looking like the noblest of shrubs. And it will still perform its function. It just may not have the grandeur and the trappings and the fanciful imagery. But it will, what it will do still is protect the birds of the air. It will give shade and rest and protection to God's people." Remember, the mustard seed gives life to a weed. We've talked about that in years past. It is a weed. It's not even really a shrub. It's a fast-growing, fast-moving weed that takes over everything, sort of like mint. I think I said that to you a couple of years ago when we heard this text. It's one of those things that never goes away, not unlike Pachysandra, actually. And it is unlikely that there were any nesting birds in the mustard plants at this time. They weren't big enough. There may have been birds that came to land momentarily, but it's unlikely that there were any nesting birds. And so what Jesus is doing here is sort of stretching this imagery and creating extravagance in the midst of something that is absolutely and utterly normal, completely unextraordinary, completely not flashy, and says, "This is what the kingdom of God is like." Look at David. Briefly, the youngest, the little one, not ready to be sort of the big, tall, strong, flashy leaders like his brothers. And yet God is very clear to say, "I look upon the heart." God sees purpose. David would not be tall and pure and perfect like the cedars of Lebanon. He would be, in the end, rather like the mustard seed. He would make mistakes, and he would not stand as tall as even he wanted. But his kingship would also save many, protect many, shield many, feed many, and glorify God by building up God's people in worship and song and action. David builds the kingdom, likely sometimes too without even knowing how. He was far from perfect, and yet achieves more than the average person because of his trust and his hope in the living God. In my reading this week, I found one concise quote from a scholar that I think is very useful. I don't usually do that, but I want to read this one to you. "As Mark and the first readers of the gospel will have encountered them, both parables bring encouragement where there might have been confusion or disappointment. Yet they do so in somewhat different ways. The connection is the reign of God itself, the agricultural setting and the movement Jesus is leading. The parables do not tell us everything we need to know. They are tests, not examples. Following Jesus in patience and hope will be required to benefit from the fruit they bear." So the kingdom will come as God wills it, God's kingdom will grow if we are patient and hopeful, with our help, when we try, and sometimes, perhaps, when, like David, we fall a little bit short, God can grow the kingdom even then. Sometimes God's kingdom grows without help, sometimes even despite us. And the kingdom may not look exactly like we expect it to look. It certainly doesn't look that way to the people that Jesus is surrounded by. But it will sneak in and steal in and conquer quickly and quietly. It will seek justice and it will let life thrive. If you are looking for it in the world around you, look for the places of joy. Look for the places where joy takes root. Look for the places of justice where all of God's people are welcome and served and loved. That won't always be in the noblest of places. But if we are careful, then we find that God also grows the kingdom within us, within the hearts of God's people, which is why this kingdom is crafty and feisty, why it can continue with God's help to sneak through the cracks and produce goodness out of nothing. It crops up again and again, overcoming every obstacle, and with Jesus' help, conquering even death to ensure that there is good news for all people. So, scatter the seed as much as you can and rejoice in the fact that even when you don't think you're doing that, God can produce and the kingdom can grow out of simple, tiny things, moments of kindness and mercy and love. And look for the places where the kingdom is growing. It may not look like we expect it to, and yet it brings all of us good news. Amen.